like to go, and even though the what they call the cost doesn't include the accommodation, but you need some assistance in accommodation, you can let us know. We will try to arrange. No promise, but we will try to arrange. All right, so just take note. All right, children, you may go to your classes. Now, for those who remain here, the text for this morning message is taken from two books. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and then the second passage is taken from 2 Timothy. So, if you could flip to your Bible, I will read from 2 Corinthians 11, from verse 23 to verse 28. And then later on, we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Before we start, maybe let's commit the time to the Lord. Father, we come to the feet of your Son, Jesus. Our heart desire, Lord, is to learn from Him. And everything that we receive, let it not be knowledge of the mind, but let Christ be formed in us. And this Christian journey, Lord, we know there will be difficult at times, but your grace is sufficient for us. And therefore, as we read your scripture and as we hear your word, we ask for your grace to come upon our life, that we can go through whatever that is ahead of us with joy, with your grace, with your strength, with your wisdom. So we commit this time to you. We ask that you speak to us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to verse 28. Now here, it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Just want you to take note that despite all those things that the apostle went through, in verse 28, it says, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, it says, my deep concern for all the churches. The other scripture I'd like to read is 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read from verse 6 to verse 18. Now here is Apostle Paul writing again. He says, for I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crispus for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Greek is with me. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful to me for ministry. and Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloth that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his work. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be a charge against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these two books, both 2 Corinthians and also 2 Timothy. And he wrote 2 Timothy while he was imprisoned in a dark and cold dungeon. And that this was shortly before he was executed for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul had a very difficult Christian life. And in his Christian journey, he encounters all kinds of trials and tribulations and persecution. He was imprisoned, he was stoned, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was marked, he was shipwrecked. And often he experienced hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness, and all kinds of dangers. Now, despite the extremely difficult Christian life, he always counted it joy to serve the living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And despite all the fiery trials and tribulation, he did not waver in his deep love and concern for the churches. As recorded for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8, he always has a love and a deep concern for the churches daily. Not once a while, but daily. And near the end of his life, Paul began to reveal his life journey and also some of his fellow co-workers in Christ Jesus. And the first one he talked about was a person by the name of Demas. Now, Demas was at one time a fellow co-worker with Apostle Paul. And this was recorded in a different part of the scripture. But here, it was recorded for us that in 2 Timothy, there was a change in the direction of a fellow Demas. He had forsaken the Lord, and he has also forsaken Paul altogether. And the reason is he loved the world. He got caught up in the seduction of the world. And there was always this possibility of drifting away from the Lord. And even by those who were at one time very active, what they call serving the Lord. And this happened to Demas. And it can happen to any one of us. And he started well, but he did not cross the finishing line. It can happen, as I said, to anyone. And I pray that it will not happen to any one of us here. My prayer for all of you here is, Lord, preserve us, that we will all cross the finishing line and strong and well. Now, this morning, my topic is on Christian service. And I want to entitle my sermon, is your Christian service rooted in love? Now, the second person that Apostle Paul began to reveal about his life is Mark. His name is John Mark. Now, remember John Mark. He joined Paul and Barnabas on the first mission trip, and he bailed out halfway. He started off as an unreliable worker. And on this second mission trip, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark along. And Paul strongly objected because Mark's bad track record. The argument was so heated that Paul and Barnabas had to split company. And as a result, Paul had to take another person along the mission trip. He brought Silas along with him. And he actually split company with Barnabas. And Barnabas, being the son of consolation, was an encourager. And he wanted to give Mark a second chance to restore his nephew by the name of John Mark. And Paul, on the other hand, was so focused on the work at hand. And he says that the mission cannot be put to risk. Now, who was right? And Paul said, this work is too important to take a risk on someone who is not reliable and who most likely will mess things up. On the other hand, Barnabas said, we need to restore and we need to develop anyone who show the potential. I believe that they both were right, but under different contexts. There are those who have a vision and passion for the work of the Lord at large, and are those who have a heart for each individual. And although these two groups will not always see eye to eye, both were needed for different contexts and different situations. Now, at the end of his life, Paul began to send John Mark, for evidently Barnabas had indeed accomplished a good work in him. And Mark was an example of a Christian. Despite all whatever service that he has gone through, he did not start well, but he ended well. Then the next person that was mentioned in the scripture that we have read is Alexander. Alexander did harm, much harm to Paul. And Paul says that he will rest the matter with the Lord because he believed the Lord would deal with Alexander fairly. So, and also there was a particular court hearing, and the Apostle Paul mentioned, say that many of his fellow workers had forsaken him. Now, however, he said that God was faithful, and he stood with Paul, and he strengthened him. Despite all the pain and the suffering in his Christian service, arising from his interaction with non-believers, as well as believers in the Lord Jesus, here, Paul in his dungeon was still very passionate to continue to preach and share the gospel. Now how? Through the epistle that he wrote and through the message that he shared with his prison guards. At this end of this long and arduous Christian service for the Lord, Paul was able to say in verse 7 and verse 8, he says that I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day. And not only to me only, but he says, but to those who have loved his appearing. Now, I wish that, my prayer is that all of us can say this same prayer at the very end of our life. And we can say that we have fought a good fight, which means to say there is a fight in this Christian journey. And there is a race to finish. And then there is a faith that we need to keep. Therefore, the Christian journey is never a smooth sailing one. The beginning is easier. The finishing is much more difficult. And many are at the starting line, but not all will cross the finish line. And if they cross the line, they may not finish well, or rather, they may not finish strong. Why? Because in between the start and the end, that while there are many mountaintop experiences, there are also some deep and dark valley experiences. And often the times in this dark valley, we experience pain, suffering, tears, sorrows, offenses, disappointment, betrayal, disagreement, misunderstanding, opposition, contention even with our fellow brothers and sisters, and our heart can harden and can grow cold. And for Apostle Paul, it was not the case. He remained very passionate and very faithful in his Christian service. Now, what kept him going and rise above the situation? What kept him going and so steadfast that he finished strong at the finishing line? It can all be summed up in one sentence. His service is deeply rooted in love. Paul had a heart of a bond servant. And in this letter, he always, or in all the various epistles that he wrote, he always considered himself a born servant of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, he starts off saying that he is a born servant of Christ. Galatians, in the book of Philippians, in the book of Titus, everywhere, he says he is a born servant of Christ. Now a bond servant is more than a servant. And when Paul called himself a bond servant of Christ, he was referring to an Old Testament law under which you serve your master for 6 years, and thereafter, though you can be free to go to pursue your own agenda, but the servant chooses willingly to serve his master for the rest of his life. Now let us read this particular scripture to have a better understanding of what is a bond servant. It's taken from Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 6, please. Exodus chapter 21, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 6. Verse 1 says, "Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. And if you buy a Hebrew servant, you shall serve, or he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if a servant plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." This is the law of what they call the service of a servant. Now here, after presenting in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, after presenting the Ten Commandments, we come to now the chapter 21, which is an elaboration of many of the bylaws. And this is what we call the law of the covenant. Now at various times in history, this segment of the scripture has been very controversial because it deals with slavery. Now, the question that we want to ask is God instituting slavery? No, not for, definitely not. Slavery was already deeply embedded in the ancient culture. God was not introducing or instituting slavery, but he is regulating it. Now, for example, the same principle is seen concerning marriage and divorce. Now, in chapter 19, the Pharisees were trying to ask Jesus this question about marriage and divorce. And Jesus makes it very clear that divorce was not God's intent. It was never the perfect will of God in the first place. But because of the hardness of the man's heart, God regulated it. So it is the same principle here. Now here it is regarding regulation, regulating slavery. Now if a person goes bankrupt or he is heavily in debt and he cannot pay the debt, the last resort for him is to sell himself as a slave or a servant. Now to protect slave exploitation, here the Lord is regulating it. And he specified that the maximum length of such a service can only be 6 years. And in the 7th year, the slave or the servant can go free to pursue his own agenda. Now, and the master cannot send him away empty-handed. Now, he is required to give him a generous payout so that the slave or the servant can start afresh. Now, where do I get this? Now, there's another scripture that talks about the same thing, which I'm not going to read, but it's the same thing regarding the service of a servant. And it can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 13 to verse 16. At your own time, you can go back and read this portion of the scripture. So let's continue with this particular scripture. So it says, "However, should a servant decide to stay because he loved his master, he loved his wife, and he loved his children, then he is allowed to do so." Now, in this case, the servant is to advise the judge and also go to a particular door or doorpost and then need to pierce his ears with an awl. Now, this is a sign that he has willingly given himself to serve his master forever. Now, solely because of one and only one thing, love. And this is the meaning of born servant. And in studying the many bylaws, the rites and rituals in the Old Testament, and sometimes we do not understand, but all these, what we call bylaws, rites and rituals of the Old Testament, when we study them, we are able to gain an insight into the mind and the heart of God, into the person and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for the sacrifices, the ordinances, and all those things, many of which point to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, this bylaw on the service of a servant is such an example. Now, in this passage, God's judicial judgment or decision on the service of a slave are very telling. And there are many symbolism that is involved in this bylaw and ordinances. Because Jesus is the ultimate servant. He is the ultimate born servant. The perfect born servant. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 7, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider himself a robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, taking the form of a born servant and coming in the likeness of men." So the question I want to ask is this: how does this bylaw point to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? I just want to draw you a chart, the symbolism of this passage and the meaning. The first thing is the servant serves for 6 years. Now, six always, in Bible numerics, always represents men. For example, man was created on the sixth day. All right, so here, six represents men. And what it says is that Jesus became man to serve humanity. All right, that's the meaning of the six in this passage of the scripture. And then what about the 7 year? The servant can go free. And seven in the scripture represents completion or perfection. And the world was everything done in what they call completed in 7 days. And here it represents that Jesus came, he completed the plan of salvation to set men free. Now the other thing that is more interesting is this. This Old Testament, slave or servant, choose to remain, next click please, choose to remain a slave forever for the love of his master, for the love of his wife, and for the love of the children. Now, Jesus chose to become the born servant for the love of who? For the love of God the Father. So there is a correspondent here. And Jesus chose to become the born servant for the love of his wife, or the bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, the church is, you know, equated as a bride of Christ, and in other scripture as well. And of course, Jesus chose to become a born servant, you know, for the love of God's children. And once we are born again, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become the children, the sons and daughters of the living God. So that is this symbolism. And then the next thing is this. One more click, please. Is the Old Testament slave or servant was brought to the door or the doorpost for his ears to be pierced with an awl. Now, Jesus here pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was pierced at the cross. And on the day of Exodus, if you can remember, the blood of the Lamb, which points to the blood of Jesus Christ, was to be sprinkled on the doorframe or on the doorpost. Now you begin to see, if you study some of the Old Testament ordinances, there are many of these things that points to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as this passage was showing us. So here, just as Jesus became a slave or a servant for humanity, we are to become the servant for God and for one another. We are to serve God and we are to serve and one another. And the basis of our serving is must be on love. Because the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 says, the love of Christ compels us. And the next verse says that, and he died for all. that all those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Now God loved us and He gave us His Son. Jesus died for us on the cross and He forgave all our iniquity. He redeems our life from destruction and He saved us from the pit of hell. And He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. And He bestows goodness upon us. And He has destined us for kingship. And in Romans chapter 8, we were told that we are made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And His grace and His favor on our life is beyond human comprehension. Why would you not want to serve another king or your own agenda except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and who is the Lord of Lords? It is a privilege to serve a holy, a righteous, and a perfectly good king. And therefore, the only reason for becoming a born servant in Christ must be love. Because without the love of God and the love for God, our Christian service is not sustainable. One more click, please, for the next slide. Now remember this. Without the love for God and the love of God, our Christian service is not sustainable. In our Christian service, we are bound to go through all kinds of stumbling blocks. And on various occasions, we will become weary. We will be disappointed. Our heart is tempted to grow cold. And we will be hurt. And we will feel like giving up. And we will be let down by the failures of our fellow brothers and sisters. Or even the failure of ourselves. And how do we carry on when we are down? When we are discouraged? Or we will feel like throwing in the towel? And what do we need, you know, to walk this long journey of faith? We have to go back to God and admit our lack and our poverty and ask Him to refill and to replenish us with His love. And the prerequisite to receiving this God's love is whether we still love Him. How do we know this is the case? Now we learn this from the story of Peter. And Apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times and he felt he was a failure to the Lord. So he decided to give up his calling. He went back to his own profession, the old profession, which is fishing. And then Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection. And the only question that Jesus asked Peter is this. Only one question, but repeated 3 times. He says, "Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And when Peter responded in the affirmative, even though implicitly, and then God begins to restore Jesus. And when we go to God and respond to God, say, "Yes, Lord, we still love you," then God will begin to pour His agape love to us to heal our brokenhearted. And God is the only source of this agape love, which is so different from the man's kinds of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the scripture defines God's agape love as follows. He says, "Love is long-suffering, and love is kind." And then he goes on and goes on, and then he says, "Love bears all things, love believes all things, and love hopes all things, and love endures all things." And in summary, it says that love never fails. And we need to constantly go back to God and ask Him to refill us with His love. And with His love, we can carry on the next mile. We can carry on the next step. And we can go through the valley. And we can go through the pain. And we can go through the suffering. And we can go through the disappointment. Because God's love is the only fuel that can keep us going and make our Christian service sustainable. Now, in Christian service, it is not whether the work we do is big or small. It has got to do with our heart, whether it is rooted in love. Now, what do we do? What we do can be something small, but do we do it with a big heart of love? Now, at death, you will not be judged by the amount of work that you did, but the amount of love that we put into the task. This is very important. And therefore, our mission statement is make God-loving, Christ-like, and Spirit-empowered disciple. Very important that it must be based on the love of God. And that is first thing first. Because the Apostle Paul say, I can speak in tongues. I can even prophesy and know the mystery and the knowledge of everything. I can even have the faith to move mountains. But he says that if I have no love, it amounts to nothing. Amounts to nothing. And therefore, in our Christian service, we must always go back to the love of Christ. Now, we do not have to strive for spectacular action. What counts is the gift of yourself in love. The degree of love that you put into each of your deeds. And you do not clean the toilets with the broom or with the brush. You clean them with your heart of love. And you do not preach a sermon with eloquence. You share them with the heart of love. And whether you are setting up the chairs, and whether you are cleaning the floors, or whether you are doing the ushering, or whether you are handing the bulletin, or whether you are singing here as a backup singer, or whether you are playing the musical instrument, or whether you are cooking, whatever it is. Now, you must serve it with a heart of love. It is not the size of the task, but the size of your heart that you put into the task. And how do we really know that we serve with love? Ask yourself this one simple question. Do you serve it with joy? Do you serve it with cheerfulness? If your answer to this, in whatever thing, Christian service that you're doing, if your answer is you do it with joy, you do it with cheer, then there is love in your service. But you will say, when I do these things, it is a chore. It's just my duty. And then you don't have the joy. You don't have the cheerfulness. Then your basis of Christian service is not rooted in love. Brothers and sisters, God is not looking for your duty. God is not looking for your obligation. God is not, you know, looking at you going through a particular motion and just as a procedure. He wants and He's looking for your heart of love. And some of you may have been deeply hurt. You may have been deeply disappointed. And you put a wall around you to protect yourself. You say you don't want to serve and you don't want to be hurt never again because of what others did to me. Because this fellow brothers and sister did this to me. He said this to me. So on and so forth. Now, this is not what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to set up a wall to protect yourself so that you don't be hurt again. Love is vulnerable. Love does get hurt when you dare to love. And Lord Jesus is a perfect example. And He came and He was a man of sorrow. He was rejected. And at the end, He had to suffer the pain, excruciating pain on the cross. Love is vulnerable. But when you are hurt, when you're disappointed, you go back to God with a broken and contrite heart. You say, Lord, thrill me, refill me with this kind of agape love. And as you do so, He will mend and He will heal your broken hearted. He will replenish you with the agape love. And when you do this as a constant exercise over time, you will grow and you will be perfected in Christian love. And whatever you do, remember, it must always, Christian service is always rooted in love. If it is not rooted in love, it will not be sustainable. You will give up, you will become bitter, you will be hardened, your heart will grow cold. And therefore, this is a reminder of all of us that disappointment, hurt, pain, suffering, we will all go through. But we must always come back to God, the source of agape love. And as we come to Him in brokenness, in contrived heart, and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes to love, because human love is limited, and I need Your kind of love. Your kind of love is long-suffering. It is kind. It bears all things. It can endure all things. It can hope all things. Your love never fails. And as I do that, then my Christian service will be sustainable. And I will end up well and strong. And I can continue to have a deep love and concern with fellow brothers and sisters. just like Paul, he has a deep love and concern for the churches daily, every day. So we come back to the basic, making God loving Christ-like and spirit and power disciple. Whatever we do, it must always be rooted in agape love. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? As we stand and the musician prepares a song for us, I just want you to reflect on this message, to reflect upon your Christian service, whether you have gone into that mode of rules, obligations, duties, things that you have to do because it is your duty, whether it is because you love the Master, you love your God. Let us stand.